Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Let's stand up and give a sunny side of sports salute to the indomitable Lions of Cameroon, who won their fifth African football title with a 2-1 victory over Egypt in Libreville, Gabon. For reaction, let's go to reporter Moki Edwin Kinzeka in Cameroon's capital, Yaoundé.
Thousands of fans celebrated on the streets of the capital, Yaoundé. They hit spoons, dishes, drums, and blew trumpets to celebrate Cameroon's championship victory at the Africa Cup of Nations. This fan, Njitap Anatol, says he is very proud because Cameroon has defeated Egypt by 2-1. He says the Lions can beat any team in the world. Cameroon went into the 16-team tournament with low expectations after 7 regulars called up to participate refused to play. They said they were too busy with important games for their European teams. But others, like goalkeeper Fabrice Ondua, who plays for a Spanish club, did show up winning accolades.
Ondua Londo is a grand sportif.
Football fan Pauline Chejo says Ondua is a great sportsman. He is sticky like chewing gum. When he takes hold of the ball, he does not let it go. Victory has redeemed Cameroon's coach Hugo Broos, who faced criticism after 7 team regulars refused to play. Broos said he did not want players who may not give their best. 15 of the players on this year's Cameroon team were playing in a continental tournament for the first time. One of Cameroon's Premier League coaches, Elundu Kizito, said the team showed patriotism and professionalism.
Lorsqu'on rentre dans l'honnêteté professionnelle, de manière intellectuelle, on comprend que...
He says, although Hugo Broos has never trained a national football team of any nation and faced difficulties assembling trusted players and regulars, he still found the winning formula. He says all coaches should learn from Broos's example. This anthem to the Lions by Cameroon's military band blasts through speakers at the head office of Cameroon's Football Federation. Hundreds of supporters are here awaiting transport to the airport to give the team a hero's welcome. Our Fonka Augustine, governor of Cameroon's Western Region, is one of the fans ready to welcome the team home.
A great day. This is wonderful, unexpected. I think the majority of us saw this team from the beginning and we didn't believe that they could come up with this wonderful results. Today we see what faith and determination can do. I think they've made all of us proud.
Besides winning the Continental Trophy, Cameroon striker Christian Bassogok was voted best player of the tournament, Fabrice Ondua best goalkeeper, and team captain Benjamin Mukanjo, man of the match. It was Cameroon's first time to lift the AFCON trophy since 2002. Moki Edwin Kinzeka for VOA News, Yaoundé.
Voice of America!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side.
Washington.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
For more on Cameroon's fifth Africa Cup of Nations trophy, here's reporter Samson Omale.
Cameroon has been crowned champions of Africa as the Indomitable Lions came from behind to beat Egypt 2-1 to claim their fifth AFCON title. It was Vincent Aboukir who swept in the winner just 2 minutes before regulation time after Nicolas Nkululu equalized for Cameroon to cancel out Mohamed Elneny's opener in the 22 minutes of the encounter. It will be the first time Egypt will be defeated in the final match since 1952. For reaction on the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon's victory over the Pharaohs of Egypt, Roland Akong, news coordinator, Equinix Radio and Television in Yaoundé, Cameroon.
There are thousands of young Cameroonians on the streets of Yaoundé jubilating, celebrating the victory of the Indomitable Lions to win the most coveted trophy of the continent. This is coming after a very, very long period of time. The last time the Lions attained this side of the competition was in 2008 in Ghana. And since then, the National Football Squad of Cameroon has been unable to qualify even for the second round of the competition. So this final means a lot. It means a lot to the entire nation of Cameroon.
That was Roland Akong, news coordinator, Equinix Radio and Television in Yaoundé, Cameroon. Staying with African stories, Burkina Faso claimed the bronze medal after beating tournament favorite Ghana 1-0 in the third place match on Saturday. Elian Taure got the winner for the Burkinabes in the 89th minute on Saturday in the match the Black Stars again failed to take advantage of. The Black Stars, who have reached the semi-finals of the African Cup of Nations since their last triumph in 1982, 8 times have fallen short of improving on their 4 AFCON titles. At the end of the 3 weeks of competition, a total of 52 goals were scored in 32 matches, an average of 1.62 goals per match, as Junior Kabananga of DR Congo claimed the highest goal scorer with 3 goals in the tournament. 84 yellow cards were given with 1 red card, while Cameroon committed the most fouls with 138 in total, while Burkina Faso had the most goal attempts with 76 shots. 30 of those were on target. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Voice of America!
Keep on sunny side, always on sunny side. Keep on sunny side of life. It'll help us every day.
February is Black History Month here in the United States. And just ahead, my VOA colleague James Buddy will have a couple of Black History Month sports items for us.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
On this day in 1993, black tennis player Arthur Robert Ashe died of AIDS-related pneumonia in New York. Ashe was the first African-American tennis player to win at Wimbledon and the first African-American to win the U.S. Open. Ashe fought against racial segregation in the United States, apartheid in South Africa, and on behalf of Haitian refugees. Because of his greatness as an American tennis champion and a fighter for the rights of all people, the U.S. Open Tennis Stadium in New York was named the Arthur Ashe Stadium. Also on this day in 1972, Robert Louis Douglas, founder and coach of the New York Renaissance basketball team, was inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame, the first African-American to be enshrined. Nicknamed the father of the black professional basketball, Douglas owned and coached the Rens from 1923 to 1949, guiding them to a 2,318-381 record.
Louder.
stand up and give another sunny side of sports salute to the New England Patriots, who staged the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history to clip the wings of the Atlanta Falcons 34-28 in overtime in the biggest game in American-style professional football. The Patriots trailed 28-3 in the third quarter in the southwestern U.S. city of Houston, Texas, but they scored the next 31 points in an epic rally to win their fifth Super Bowl title. All five Super Bowl trophies have come under the leadership of star quarterback Tom Brady and head coach Bill Belichick. Brady gets my vote as the greatest quarterback of all time with his unprecedented fifth Super Bowl title. He passed for a Super Bowl record 466 yards, completing 43 of 62 passes, the most pass attempts in Super Bowl history, and he was named the game's most valuable player.
They're all special, and, 2 years ago came down to the to Malcolm making a play, and this year down 25 points. I mean, it's hard to imagine us winning, but it took a lot of great plays, and that's why you play to the end. It's a 60-minute game, and you know, halftime, I'd say we weren't down at all. I mean, we were disappointed in the way we played and knew that we could go out and do a lot better in the second half.
In the overtime period, with the score tied 28-28, Tom Brady drove the Patriots down the field and then handed the football off to running back James White for a 2-yard touchdown run.
James White is just, you know, he's everything you want in a teammate and a football player, and dependable, consistent, durable, the best attitude, brings it every day, and, you know, we just kept going to him. So I think that speaks for itself.
What about Patriots head coach Bill Belichick? Let's let him speak for himself.
What a game, huh? What a game. Can't say enough about our team. You know, we got some really good coaches. I thought that our coordinators, Matt, Josh, and Joe, did a tremendous job in handling the game. There's a lot of great situational football, adjustments, and just they just kept coaching. We just kept trying to, you know, find a little crack in the armor and keep plugging away. And, you know, our team just showed great mental toughness throughout the game. Just never really flinched, even though the score was so against us for so long. But they just kept plugging away, just kept fighting, just kept trying to make plays.
That's Bill Belichick, the head coach of the Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, who definitely made some big plays in winning their fifth Super Bowl trophy. There were numerous records set during this 51st edition of the Super Bowl. This was the first Super Bowl to go to overtime in 51 editions of the big game. Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Sporty and super greetings, Doug.
Sporty greetings to you.
I think the game might have lived up to that super description
title
for a change.
You know, the look on my face right now is the very same look that you would have found the day after our most recent presidential election.
I get you, Doug.
Everybody. I mean, no. Look, to be fair, and we discussed this. The Patriots were favored. They had a slight edge over the Falcons. But I tell you, boy, watching the first quarter, that second quarter, by the third quarter, I mean, it was just like, let's flip out the lights. I can see exactly where this is going.
I thought it was a rout at
yeah,
that point.
At that point, and then it just became, well, you know, how high is the score going to go? And you know, the funny thing is that in so many Super Bowls of the past, I recall the 90s and the 2000s, you would often have these scores that were so lopsided, you know, that the game just kind of became dull and people were paying much, much more attention to the ads and the halftime. This time around, the halftime show by Lady Gaga was meh, it was okay, but it was, nobody's talking about that. The ads were all kind of meh, but that game and that fourth quarter was astounding. I mean, as you've said, you know, you were asking, you know, how many records were set? I mean, the one everybody's talking about certainly is that no team has come back from a larger than a 10-point deficit
in a Super Bowl
to win it. and they were behind by 25 points.
I thought the game was over, like you said. How much credit do we have to give Brady? I mean, because I saw his head seemed to be he looked dejected at halftime.
Oh, yeah.
And his head was down, but something went on in that locker room at halftime.
Well, you know, the Patriots have been there before. Belichick has been there before. Brady has been there before. So there's a lot to be said, I think, for that experience of wherever you're at in the game. You know, that you just kind of get down to business. It's business at that point. You always hear these professional sports athletes talking about you can't be thinking about history. You can't be thinking about the record books. You can't be thinking about you just have to focus on the game and do what you have done 1,000 times before in terms of throwing that. Now you're right. Tom Brady looked dejected. Boy, after he threw that that pick six, I just thought, well, you know, this is it.
That's it.
The Falcons have their number, and you know, and to his credit, the Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan really dominated that. Certainly the first half, obviously.
I would agree. Yeah.
And so one really has to. There's two questions on my mind today. The first is, what exactly happened with Kyle Shanahan's plan? Kyle Shanahan is the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons. Again, looking at it, you think, you know, they've got this down. This is their game. And then they were not able to get up on the board, which is astounding. A second question, too, is, you know, so you asked how much of this is to Tom Brady. Well, for example, if I'm looking at Twitter, which I am right here, clearly in sports, the biggest thing trending right now is hashtag Tom Brady. Now, that's not his actual, it's just sort of a topic, hashtag Tom Brady. And interestingly, a lot of people are not only posting, you know, what a great game, G-O-A-T, which means, you know, greatest of all time, those kinds of things, credit to Brady. But there's a lot of politics involved in here, too, because Tom Brady is friends with Donald Trump, as is Bill Belichick, the Patriots coach, and probably Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots. So there's lots of – I'm looking at here a picture of Donald Trump and Tom Brady standing face-to-face, and the legend here, a Patriot who won the biggest contest of the year – and his friend Tom Brady. So there's a Trump supporter. Here's somebody who posted, photoshopped a picture of Hillary Clinton's head on Matt Ryan's body, you know, and she's saying, well, the Falcons won by the popular vote, you know, hashtag not my Super Bowl. So lots of people kind of, you know, taking some shots at Tom Brady. But clearly he made it happen. He made it happen along with Dante Hightower, I think.
Now, President Trump was not at Super Bowl 51. However, the vice president was at the game, Doug. He was one of the celebrities in attendance.
He was. I don't know that he necessarily had a favorite in the game. I don't remember hearing that, but he was there at the game. He got a decent reception. The only off note, I think, was when Robert Goodell came onto the field, you know, the NFL commissioner, to present Tom Brady and Robert Kraft with the Lombardi trophy, that big football, the big silver football. And, I mean, the whole stadium was just booing him. You couldn't hear him. And this is obviously a reference to the bad feelings, I think, that may still exist between the NFL and the New England Patriots.
Doug, I mentioned some of the Super Bowl records set in the big game in Houston. I'll run down just a few of them. Most games played, 7 Super Bowls, Tom Brady. Most games as a head coach, 7 Bill Belichick.
Wow.
Most games won as a head coach, 5 Bill Belichick. Most points in a game, 20, set by James White. We heard Tom Brady talking about White earlier in the show. He scored the game-winning touchdown. Most passes career, 309, Tom Brady. Most passes in a game, 62, Tom Brady. And then it goes down, and I see Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady, Tom Brady. An incredible, in terms of yardage and records, an incredible Super Bowl.
I've not been shy about this. I'm not a fan of Tom Brady, mostly, or Bill Belichick, mostly, I think, because they just win so darn much.
Right.
And you had asked, is he the greatest? Now, there was a turning point in the, I think it was the third period, or it might have been the fourth period, toward the end of the third period or the fourth period, where Dante Hightower stripped the ball out of Matt Ryan. He sacked Matt Ryan, the Falcons quarterback, and got possession of the ball.
That was the
point at which the Patriots just made a run. And, you know, without that, it's, you know, we talk about like, well, this was destiny or something. I think without maybe that one turning point, you could argue that we would not be talking about all these records that were broken, all these records that were set. So, yes, credit goes to Brady and Belichick, but, you know, it is a team effort.
Right.
And there are, a 100 little moments that go into piecing a victory together.
Doug, I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Doug, I know we talked about Super Bowl ads last week before the game, so you don't really give them high marks, some of the advertisements you saw during the game?
I don't, and it seems a lot of people don't. I think people are either looking for poignant or for funny. I mean, those are the kinds of two, you know, basic areas they're going for. And you often get to poignant or funny with things like animals, for example. There were no animals in any, you know, everybody loves animals. Everybody loves the puppy dog or the Budweiser horses or, you know, Clydesdales or whatnot. There were no animals in any of the ads this time around. And it just all, it felt like, including, I'll say this about Lady Gaga as well. You know, she refers to herself as a, you know, a firebrand. But she really played it safe. There were no politics, or if there were, it was really pretty, you know, obscured. And I think the ads, for the most part, played it safe as well. So this was a switcheroo kind of year where the game itself was just really genuinely, right up to the last minute, so exciting, and really, you know, was front and center in the national eye that day.
Any other super sports topics trending, Doug?
Well, one quick one, and I'll make this short. This is a sad story. Canada lost its Davis Cup tie. Canada and Great Britain were, you know, playing for the Davis Cup. Those contests go on, but Canada lost. Canada defaulted in a very unfortunate way. Canadian player Denis Shapovalov, excuse me, Denis Shapovalov, was angry about a missed point. He was out on a point. He took a ball, that second ball, out of his trousers. He kind of whacked it, and that ball went sailing into the eye of the chair judge, the line judge.
Ooh.
I mean, and it was thwack. It just, and so he was obviously in pain. Everybody was just stunned. You could see that the kid, he's only 17 years old, Shapovalov, he was just broken up about the thing. But there's really nothing else to do. The judge defaulted Canada. Canada losing out its bid this year. Shapovalov says, you know, he hopes to learn from this. He's never, ever, ever going to happen again. He may face fines in the future. But that was just a shocking moment.
VOA's Doug Bernard. Thank you, Doug. And that wraps up the February 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Dan Crafton. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Next, an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Certain aspects of the United States government are unique, none more so than the law of the land, the United States Constitution. Drafted in 1787 and ratified in 1789, it is the oldest such written document in continual use, and one that has influenced legal thinking and other constitutions around the globe. The Constitution's preamble, or introduction, begins with the words, "We the people," indicating that although the document was written to establish a national government, the government itself was set up to serve the people, and derives its power from them. The body of the document sets out the balance and separation of power among the three branches of government: the legislative, or lawmaking, branch, that is the U.S. Congress, the executive branch, which is headed by the president, and the judiciary, which interprets the law at every level and settles legal disputes regarding the meaning and application of the law. Having just won a war to rid themselves of an authoritarian government, the framers of the Constitution were above all careful to create a national government that would not, could not, wield absolute power, but at the same time could not be superseded by individual states. So the Constitution defines the state's relationship to the federal government, as well as the rights and responsibilities of state governments. And to ensure the document is flexible enough to stand the test of time, the framers made provisions that allowed for it to be changed or amended to reflect changes within society itself. Ironically, this helped the Constitution to overcome its first major hurdle, ratification by the 13 states that made up the United States of the time. That's because the populace, which had just freed itself from shackles imposed on it by one government, was loath to agree to empowering another such body. Many saw a strong central government as a threat to individual rights. So, to obtain ratification in the several vacillating states, 10 amendments, collectively named the Bill of Rights, were added. In the words of James Madison, who is considered to be the father of the Constitution, "The people are the only legitimate fountain of power, and it is from them that the constitutional charter, under which the several branches of government hold their power, is derived."
That was an editorial reflecting American ideals and institutions.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Butte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa. When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the northern Nigeria-based terrorist group Boko Haram. The militant group has targeted both Muslims and Christians, killing more than 20,000 people since 2009. VOA has exclusively obtained secret video shot by Boko Haram that identifies its operatives committing acts of terror. We'll discuss the violent organization on the next Straight Talk Africa at 18:30 UTC.
VOA News.